to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
This is actually the second hour. That's what I was supposed to say.
Yeah.
And it's July 7th, 2024. And before our guest, Dave Evans, tells you that he's in some balmy sub-100-degree weather, it's, what is it now, 100 and...
It's 108 right now in Redding, California. We're just, we're like a mile from the sun right now.
We don't need no barbecues here. We just throw our meat out on the sidewalk.
Hey, Dave, I grew up in the Catskills, so I know what 40 degrees below is like in the winter. So the summers are great and the mosquitoes are huge.
I miss it. Not the sweating, though. Do we have a sponsor this hour, Bill?
Yes, we do.
We stepped right over you and started buffoonery.
That's okay. Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They handle everything in the way of ag products, tractors, implements, you name it, they've got it. And most of that is in stock. You can go up there and drive one and see how you like it. They also have turf products, which are your riding mowers, handheld equipment, and that's all electric now because we're in California and we're going to clean the planet and we're going to lead the way.
We're going to stress the power grid so that when it's 108, we can just use fans.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we can't use those.
No.
Oh, but we still have
hand fans.
They can't take away our hands.
That's right. That's right.
There's no hand fan regulation yet.
That's right. So don't go into your local retailer looking for a gas-powered mower, because you're probably not going to find one unless it's an older model.
And if you have one, for God's sakes, take care of it.
Yeah, because it has to be built prior to 2024 in order to retail it as new. So most of those products are now spoken for and not available in California. So come in and buy a brand-new electric mower. They do a pretty good job. And there are some benefits to electric. Go up and talk to one of our salespeople up there and get all edumacated on that. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226.
But if you have that coveted gas mower, get it in there to have it fixed.
Yeah, we definitely are doing a lot of repairs on the older ones. And you know, they're still good. They're still legal to run. You just can't buy any more new ones. So go up and see them or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Shazam.
There you go.
Can I talk to Dave about pot now? Please. Hey, Dave, so you and I have been talking. Would you address, I know that we have numerous citizens up in Siskiyou County that live out in the Shasta Vistas, over 8 to 10,000 illegal grows in the most prolific marijuana growing area in the United States. And I know this from visiting most of the states this year, looking at marijuana in other states. We have talked about a class action lawsuit, and I talked to you about that location actually has a historic CCNRs. And any way forward, you think, for the residents up there to potentially sue the state for violation of, for allowing violation of the CCNRs?
Well, the one vehicle that we're now trying to perfect is a RICO lawsuit. That's a federal lawsuit under the Racketeering Influenced Corrupt Organizations Act. And marijuana growing, marijuana selling is considered racketeering under federal law because it violates the Controlled Substances Act. And under RICO, you have a right to sue the marijuana company if you have been damaged in your property or your business. So, for example, we have a RICO lawsuit going right now in New Jersey where a town wanted to put a big marijuana grow operation right next to these people's yard, and that's illegal under federal law, and we're suing under RICO. Now, the advantage of RICO is that you can get triple damages. So, for example, if these people lose, say, $200,000 in value on their home, they can collect $600,000 from the marijuana grow operation, and their attorney's fees can be paid. And that is one option. People could band together in your county and file a RICO lawsuit. That is an option. You can't really sue the governments unless they are really blatantly acting in a criminal manner. Approving these things doesn't meet that level. The reason for this is under the law is that a government agency cannot form criminal intent. Only a person or a private organization can do that. So the RICO lawsuits against governments have not been successful. You can go after the marijuana companies, and we would certainly do everything we could to support that. We've done a lot of research on RICO. All of our lawsuits that we're doing right now, in a sense, are experimental because we're looking for a legal formula that will work and that we can apply to other states. The legal profession is now just starting to be aware of the damage that marijuana is causing. We now have two big personal injury law firms that are interested in class action lawsuits. We have a firm in California, I would be happy to help anybody that wanted to talk to that law firm about that, or in particular about a personal injury lawsuit as a result of marijuana psychosis, addiction, anything like that. People can contact me in two ways. They can send me an email at seniorcouncil@civel.org. seniorcouncil@civel.org. Or they can call me at 908-963-0254. That's 908-963-0254. I'll be happy to help them out. I would give their case an initial evaluation before I referred it out. We have attorneys in other states that are interested in these lawsuits in New York and other states. And I think within the next couple of years, there's going to be a tsunami of lawsuits against the marijuana industry. They are low-hanging fruit for personal injury lawyers because they've been allowed to get away with reckless, irresponsible behavior, and nobody's been telling them no. And so they've done a lot of stupid things that they can be brought to account for.
Well, you even have the ACLU defending them.
Absolutely.
The growers up in Siskiyou County are getting away with it. The cartels up there are being affronted by the ACLU, claiming racism.
Of course. The ACLU got a big donation to set up a unit, to promote legalization of marijuana. This is not the ACLU that I knew when I was in law school. I was actually at one point an ACLU participating attorney back when they believed in civil rights. They don't believe in that anymore. They believe in drug culture. And I'm very, very disappointed in them. And I've taken on the ACLU when it came to student drug testing, and I won. We got student drug testing in New Jersey, and we opposed the ACLU. ACLU is not, they're not that great as lawyers. That's been my experience with them. We'd be happy to take them on. We do have some funding for the lawsuits. The lawsuit in Lusos, New York are funded. The ones in New Jersey are funded. We have been able to provide some money to Minnesota because there's a case there. Probably people are going to have to go out and find funding, or if they have a good case, an attorney can take it on what's called a contingent basis. In other words, where the attorney does the work for free and only gets paid if they win. Sometimes they will pay the expenses for the lawsuit. I have done that. I've spent as much as tens of thousands of dollars on litigation. The big law firms are better able to handle that than I am. But my job is to educate lawyers, to give them the tools so they can hit the ground running, so they can be familiar right away with what's going on. So we have model court complaints that they can use. We have model legal research to defeat motions against the case. We have model demands for documents, model interrogatories. So, you know, this is a lot of the work of litigation is the discovery process. And we have tools available for lawyers in a variety of areas of the law. We have legal memorandums on product liability, server liability. That's another whole issue. These places that serve pot should be treated just like bars. You know, you serve somebody who's intoxicated and they go out and kill somebody in a car crash, you ought to be able to be sued for that if it's marijuana.
David, in Shasta County, we have something called the Social Host Ordinance. And if you are a parent and you hold a party at your house and underage kids are drinking, you will be held legally responsible. We don't have it yet for cannabis, but we're working on it.
Well, that's exactly where it should be. And that can be established by legislation, by an ordinance, or by case law. In New Jersey, the alcohol is established by case law. So we have a whole memo on that, you know, how people can detect intoxication and so forth. We have a medical malpractice legal memorandum with model complaints and discovery questions. And we have an environmental lawsuit based on, we've got one specific to California for Proposition 65, how to file a Proposition 65 lawsuit, which any citizen can do. Marijuana smoke has been declared a Proposition 65 carcinogen in California, and citizens can go and file lawsuits there. And we have a model lawsuit prepared for specifically for California. We have a lot of information on the environmental damage. We have issued Americans Against Legalized Marijuana has a paper called Water, Wildlife, or Weed, which goes into all of the environmental damage. You can get that from their website. That's aalm.info, aalm.info. Look in the upper right-hand corner where you can click and get documents. You'll see Water, Wildlife, or Weed. And the environmental damage is unbelievable in California, unbelievably bad. We can't get anybody out there that's an environmentalist to deal with it. We sent all kinds of information about this to the Audubon Society, to the Sierra Club, and I think that they're all politically liberal, probably pro-marijuana, and they didn't want to deal with it. We gave them proof that it was killing birds.
Dave, we did work with the California DA's Association, and we were able to get all the new environmental laws on the books specifically for marijuana. But it's
wonderful.
It's hard to get them enforced. That's part of the problem.
Yeah,
you know, in these small counties with minimal resources and just massive illegal grows, it's hard to get at them. In this county where I live, we have we're not like Siskiyou. We have probably 2,000 illegal grows right now. We conducted 90 eradication operations last year. So look at the numbers.
Great.
We're just overwhelmed. And the state.
Well, you need to publish papers on that. Publish things about it because the rest of the country is not aware of how bad this is. They have this idealized view of marijuana, and they don't see how this whole thing gets completely out of control. And, we're still fighting against marijuana legalization and medical marijuana legalization. And whatever you can do to get the word out to, you guys are the point of the spear there about what's going on. And, this whole argument that legalization reduces the need for law enforcement is a bunch of baloney.
Yeah, you couldn't prove that here.
No. Certainly we would, want to use you as expert witnesses on this and so forth on it. So I think that the thing about litigation, most of my litigation in my law practice has been against big companies and big law firms. And I'm a sole practitioner. You can go toe-to-toe with them if you have the proper tools. Their money doesn't count because you got to go before a judge, and you have just as much the ability to get stuff before a judge or jury And I think juries are going to be sympathetic on some of these issues. These homeowners that we have a case in New Jersey, they want to put a huge grow operation right next to their home that they've lived in for 20 years. And they want to put an 8-foot-tall barbed wire fence around the facility and greenhouses and all this kind of stuff. And
that's fantastic.
They can't sell their house. Nobody will buy it.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's no crime. I'm sure there's no one trying to break in.
Well, that's why and we make that point. We say, why do you need an 8-foot-tall barbed wire fence? It's to stop criminals from breaking into your place. And these people chose that town because it was a nice rural town, and it was a safe environment for their kids and good public schools. And now they're going to have this horrible thing next to their property. And, you know, they went to the owner of the marijuana grow operation, tried to reason with her and say, look, you don't you see what you're doing to us? And, you know, we said, you know, give them some compensation. No, we're not going to do that. That's off the table. Drop dead. And, okay, that's fine. So we're going to court now.
Dave, you know, in California, you're allowed to grow under the medical marijuana law. Now you're allowed to grow 6 plants for personal consumption. A really good grower, and this is what we see out in the field, really good grower can grow that plant will yield 1 to 5 pounds of marijuana, and including shake left over for making honey oil. So when you divide that out into joints or 1 gram joints, that's 14,000 joints potentially.
Right.
That's a joint.
A lot of medicine right
every
there.
39 minutes you'll be smoking a.
This is what's so absurd about this is that marijuana seems to have this protective shell over it that people do not think critically, and it's been very difficult to pierce that. But you know, tobacco was the same way. Opiates were the same way. You know, the opiate companies spent $12 million.
Hold that thought, Dave, because I really do want to tie these together because it does matter.
Okay.
And the cigarette opiate now moving to this is really a good comparison. You are listening to We the People, and all of the things that we have fired off, like websites and contact information for Dave Evans, is on the site at wethepeopleradio.us.
Promotion, but I got high. Now I'm selling dope, and I know why. Hey, because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support
before I got high.
That's what you have to look forward to. That's what they should use for the commercials. Because it's a much more honest portrayal of how it all turns out, except for
get motivated.
I should have played the cop song after that. That was bad. My bad.
That was good. That's always good.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
So, Dave, up on our website...
Wait, he has to finish. He has to finish because I cut him off the knees with how the process has gone with cigarettes, and then with So Big Tobacco, and then the opioids.
The playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dave, over to you.
Yeah, that's the playbook that the marijuana industry's been using, the tobacco opiate playbook, and we're going to use the counter playbook against them. So, you know, when I was a kid, back in the 50s, there were advertisements about how smoking was healthy and to help you lose weight. The opiate industry during the Obama administration got a bill through Congress unanimously. It cost them $12 million to limit the ability of the DEA to go after the opiate situation. And we said at the time, you're going to get an opiate epidemic because of this. We were right. And there were over 1,000 opiate lawsuits, a lot of them from state and local governments who had to pay all the expenses for the opiate addiction. So the same thing is going to happen with marijuana. But people have to step up. We need to get plaintiffs. And we now have very competent law firms that will evaluate the case. We'll help people. We'll help the attorneys get familiar with it. We have a case in Michigan where a young man used marijuana and committed suicide. We've been working with the attorney, helping the attorney get experts, become familiar, how to file a lawsuit, questions to ask, and things like that. So no lawyer is going to have to just step into this without support. We're actively seeking plaintiffs right now. Civil, my organization, has no corporate money. We have no money from any pharmaceutical company. We are funded by families who are concerned about drug problems. All of our services are for free. We don't charge anything. And the only thing we might charge is if a lawyer would ask us to do a lot of research and, you know, it would be a lot of time-consuming work. We might charge the attorney for something, but everything else is free. We'll work with attorneys and educate them and try to get as many cases going as possible. You are in the belly of the beast. You can show the rest of the country what's in store for them unless they do something about this. So your input, your expertise is extremely valuable. You have a great deal of courage for what you're doing, because I know you're doing it at some risk of physical risk to you and your family, and I appreciate that. Everybody that has opposed the marijuana industry at one point or another has gotten threats. I know I have, and I've had to get the state police involved and so forth. So what you're doing is a heroic, patriotic act, and I want to let you know that we all very much appreciate what you're doing. And just let the rest of the country know any way you can. If we can help you write stuff up or get stuff out, we have the ability to issue press releases. We have 4,000 agencies and people on our list for those. We'd be happy to help in any possible way that we can. I look at this this kind of work that will go probably beyond my remaining stay on Earth, but I owe it to the people that fought against tobacco and opiates. I stopped smoking because of what the tobacco people did. Both my parents died from tobacco, and my stopping smoking saved my life. And this is my way of paying them back. So what we're doing is really a public service that will last more than our lives, and it's something we can all be very proud of. I appreciate very much this opportunity. I'm going to have to get off because we have a whole family dinner here, and I'm supposed to be preparing the hamburgers.
They want you to go to it?
Yeah, well, my wife, I told her I'd be available at 4 o'clock, and I know that everybody's sitting down there waiting for me, and my wife has this strange belief that I should participate in family life.
She's like, Dave's talking about pot again. What the heck?
Yeah.
Dave, I want you to know before you go that we're backing you up today on the website.
Great.
You can see the pocket guide for pesticides found in illegal cannabis grow operations.
Wonderful. I'm going to use that in our lawsuit.
Great. Right. Put out by the Department of Pesticide, and we really appreciate it. And also, we have a poster up there today, 3 joints a day for 30 days, what happens to your lungs. So the public should go look at that. You're a rock star to us, Dave.
And thanks a lot for all your info. We will talk to you again. Have a great time in your balmy sub-zero weather or whatever it is you're having.
Well, I'll think of you tonight when I'm laying there in the cold with a blanket on. It's nice and cool here. Right,
yeah, we
now
wouldn't know anything about that.
No.
It's a dry heat, though.
We here in the Adirondacks, we do not have air conditioning. You don't have a need for it in the summer.
If you don't have any here, you're likely a pothead.
But we
can't tell.
We get snow in May here, believe it or not.
Yep.
Right.
But I live in North Carolina, so I'll be going back down there to sweat it out with everybody else. So
nice.
Keep up the great work. It's a great honor and a pleasure to be associated with you. And
thanks, Dave. We appreciate all your hard work.
Stay courageous. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Thanks, Dave. Bye.
Dave's going to barbecue without going outside. Well, I guess he could go outside if he wants. But.
So he really is a rock star because, you know, most attorneys, unless they see like an instant gratification, like there's money for them waiting right there, they won't touch a case. So he's had to do all this work for years and get organizations behind him like ALM. And ALM is also on your website, the Americans Against Legalization of Marijuana.
I also put up the As I go to say it, it flips away. Here we go. The risk of marijuana use. I put up the picture of the front page of it, and if you click on it, you get the full PDF.
Awesome.
The Pocket Guide to Pesticides Found in Illegal Cannabis Grows. You click on that, you get the whole thing. And then the chemicals that are listed in it, you get the same guide. Those links go to the same place. But I thought if somebody didn't take the time to click on it, the chemical list should, I don't know, you know, malathion, I mean, there's like, I don't even know what some of this stuff, well, okay, I don't know what most of it is.
It just amazes me that, you know, the rules say that stuff's supposed to be tested, but they get away with that with this bulk testing, and it's not a regular thing. But you go into one of these pot shops and buy marijuana, you don't know what you're smoking, and chances are you're probably ingesting these chemicals and
came from a grow near you.
Yeah, it's organic.
Shazam. And then you run out and you're worried about your grain free and gluten free and all
organic
this stuff.
Organic and all this.
Like,
yeah.
And throw it out the window.
They always throw it back at you. It's a legal business.
It's interesting. We have a dispensary here that is now talking about farm to table. Like that's supposed
Stop
to be,
it.
That's
oh,
supposed
wow.
to be yep, farm to table, like that's supposed
it's
to
just
be
just like food. It's exactly food.
I have never heard a dispensary here that says, hey, come on out to my farm and take a look at where your product's coming from.
Yeah.
Not
how we grow it.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about pesticides today, and I'm only going to focus on one. By the way, just some statistics for you, Aaron and Bill. We have 3,159 marijuana dispensaries, legal dispensaries in the state of California.
Wow.
And it is where our youth gets their marijuana. So you'll get somebody who has a medical marijuana card. They'll buy it from there, and they'll take it to the high school. And in 5 minutes in any of our high schools, you can find a person that can get you that marijuana. We have 33. So we have the most dispensaries in the United States of any other state, California by far. We have 3,300 medical marijuana patients registered in the state of California. Amazingly, you know, remember back in 2012, I need my medical marijuana. I remember sitting in a meeting for the city council when they were considering marijuana, and I sat next to a girl 9 months pregnant who just reeked of marijuana, and I just thought, wow, what's going to happen to your baby? So recently, we did a seizure in Siskiyou. So deputies caught a vehicle coming out of the Shasta Vista, stopped it, several hundred pounds of marijuana, and the sheriff up there, Jeremiah LaRue, sent that marijuana in for testing. Guess what? It came back with heavy pesticides and residues. I'm going to talk about one of those pesticides. So in the interview of the suspect, who was, you know, really honest, he said, this is going to a dispensary, and he named it, I won't name it, to a dispensary in L.A. So I'm going to propose to your audience that now 100% of marijuana is tainted in the state of California. It's either tainted with a bacteria, which is very common because of the overproduction of marijuana here, and or it's tainted with some kind of pesticide residue. So one of the pesticides that we found was something called chlorfenapyr. And it's used commercially to control a variety of insects and mites. And it is a multi-system toxicity. It's been previously reported in humans. In humans, chlorpenifer toxicity leads to a high incidence of mortality, with only two previously reported cases of survival. Now, I ran this pesticide past a chemical engineer who's in our group in Texas, and he came back and he said, you know, it's not just the chlorpenifer, but it's what happens when chlorpenifer is heated. So now people are smoking it either in bud or vaping it. And so when heated, its decomposition emits vapors of hydrogen chloride, hydrogen fluoride, and nitrogen oxide. So all of those three have long-term acute exposures. So if you're smoking that three joints a day for 30 days, that's an acute exposure. That's up on your website. You can see what your lungs look like.
It isn't pretty.
Yeah, you're getting lung scarring, skin damage. You can see your fingernail beds start to change colors. You're getting eye exposure where it can cause blindness. You're getting swallowing that can damage your esophagus. You know, back in 2012 when we first started battling marijuana, I used to have potheads come up and tell me, hey, you know, I suffer from emphysema and marijuana smoking actually helps me. And I'm thinking, there's something wrong with you. You got the Darwin Award. The elevator didn't go to the top. How can you possibly put a burn substance into your lungs?
Yeah.
So we have these. This is just one pesticide. You can go and look at the pesticide guide on the website and see what other pesticides are going in there.
Yeah. 63 years of asthma, and not one doctor has ever told me I should go smoke something.
Well, when you were up at the Grows, last year? Or year before, and you saw barrels of this stuff.
I like the spray adhesive. I couldn't possibly tell you what it's called because it looks like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
And we traced that, Aaron, to a chemical house in New York and then out of Brazil. So methacrylate, which is...
Oh, it was much longer. The name on the barrel...
Yeah, it was longer than that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
like
the secret chemical name. And so when we tracked it all down, it's like spray adhesive to get the pollen to stick on the plants better so that the buds would grow faster, bigger, so they could harvest more cycles of grows. And it's like, okay.
That was the illegitimate use. The legitimate use of that.
What do you do with spray adhesive?
Yeah,
it's
actually used as a coating on glasses to hold the UV colorants on glasses.
Huh.
So, but it's not meant
that's
for...
That's hot information. Yeah, but don't smoke your glasses.
It's not
that's a
meant
bad
for
idea.
Human consumption.
Consumption, yeah, exactly.
All right, we have to take a quick break, and then we will be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot. I got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, cause it's all going to pot.
Yes, the marijuana industry, the musical.
So I think if people want to know locally what kind of effect this is having upon us, we can only look to a recent operation that was in the Lakehead area. And for security, I'm not going to give the actual street that it was on. But there were a group of people up there that were working on a trout restoration project in the Salt Creek area. And they've been working on this for 3 years. And they had a large-scale marijuana grow up there. And they were stealing water out of Salt Creek and then dumping all their chemicals, which includes, you know, since these are off-grid operations, they keep their batteries cold by putting them in the stream. And the batteries, and they have lots of batteries. And when they die, they just leave them there, and then all that sulfuric acid is leaking into the water, and then all their chemicals that are in the pesticide residue pamphlet that you put on your website, those all go into that stream. And then downstream from there, that goes into Shasta Lake. But before it does, it becomes the drinking water, the well water, for numerous users downstream. So the operation was done. Sheriff Johnson gave it a very high priority, said get up there and take care of it, and the team went and did that. So how does this
work? So this is being done under the auspice of a trout restoration program?
No. The victim in this case was actually doing a trout restoration program and found this grow.
Oh, okay.
This grow was at a dead end of a dead end road, and that's how the pot folks do it. They go to a very barren location where nobody's going to be around. So they can do their, and they ended up having a house that was used for a processing operation. So they were processing the marijuana right there, making they can make the honey oil, they can process all the bud, and that was all being done. So they got a couple hundred pounds of bud. Usually in these operations, usually there'll be weapons. The suspects run off. They're usually Hispanic. They run off, and our deputies don't chase them for good reason, because one, you're going to get deputies hurt. Two, it's a misdemeanor. Whether you grow 5 plants or 5 million plants in the state of California, it's just a misdemeanor. So we're not going to have our deputies go and get hurt for just a misdemeanor.
But the pollution and all that's not a misdemeanor, is it?
So what happens with that is a case gets written up, and then it gets, and here's where we have a log jam. A case will get written up, and it will go to the district attorney. The district attorney will say, well, it's misdemeanor, I'm not going to file. But there's environmental crimes. Now,
right.
Now recently, a change this year, which is an important change, our district attorney has now assigned a DA investigator to the team. So we have a DA investigator.
That's helpful.
That is very helpful, because they can file the environmental crimes. Also, along with that, these cases go to Department of Resource Management. Now, that's under Paul Hellman. And there has been a disconnect there, and something that we're going to work on this year. We've got to get code enforcement back into the operation here, because they're the ones that can go out, and they can shut down properties. They are the ones that can then refer them to our county council, and there are 2 cases in front of our county council, which he's done nothing with so far, that are there for the, and we have an ordinance, initial violation, $10,000 a day until the location is cleaned up, or $20,000 a day if it's a repeat violation. So we could be, if we wanted to, this county could be making millions of dollars on fines. Now, would we be able to recover them all, Aaron? No. We may end up being the owners of these properties.
I was going to say,
you've got property seizure laws that could kick into effect. Now, are they on this particular operation you're talking about?
Yep.
There's obviously property owners that are involved, and
right.
Do we know who they are?
So what happens is lots of times they'll be out of town property owners, or they'll do title flipping. So it'll be very hard for us to find out.
Where they just keep rolling it.
They keep rolling it, but. That's what code enforcement is there for. That's not the sheriff to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's code enforcement. So there's the disconnect. We're going to work with code enforcement this year. We've got to get them back into the, bring them back into the fold that this is a serious problem. Now, recently, our Board of Supervisors, they really got upset about illegal aliens in our community. And they found 100 illegal what they thought were illegal aliens on a bus at Winco parking lot. Right, Patrick Jones was so upset. Patrick, if you're listening to this, how about 3 to 5 growers per grow? And we have 2,000 grows. How many illegal alien criminals do we have in this community?
Yeah, every community
easily go after, right? Just by using the fine and make them go elsewhere. We don't have to arrest them. We don't have to make it a big deal. Bingo. They'll go elsewhere if they can't get
the
water.
Sheriff in Modoc County, when I spoke with him, and they had basically no problems with all this, it's like, wait, what? They took a really hard line at the beginning. In fairness, their weather is super severe. They are not in a good place for having supplies trucked to them. They're not on a major artery of a highway, so they have a lot of things kind of working in their favor. But they took a really hard stance, and they didn't allow it to get going. Unfortunately, in Siskiyou County, way back when it started, there was sort of a, well, you know, we can work with these people and we'll help them get into compliance and we'll, you know, that'll work out. We'll have meetings and they're going to work with us. So anybody in some other county or state or wherever the heck you are, if the lingo that you're hearing, the strategy that you're hearing from your sheriff's office, from your county offices,
yeah,
is like, you know what, we're going to help these people get into compliance because this is a really good revenue source for taxes, and so, you know, we're going to allow the commercial stuff and just we're going to regulate it. Bottom line, look at the pictures on our website. That's what happens when you have it all regulated. It's a train wreck.
Wasn't there a reversal up in Humboldt County on a lot of that where they allowed the commercial grows and now they're,
yeah, now it's
they're
like,
kind of backpedaling a little
well,
bit?
Well, what is it? Nevada County has, I don't even know how many illegal grows because you really don't know, but 1% of them, they estimate 1% of them are legal. So, I mean,
yeah,
how silly is that?
The only thing I would say is that the typical, we're failing in California as far as commercial marijuana because, yeah, of the overabundance of illegal marijuana. And now we have all these other states starting to come online. Oklahoma, you know, huge.
Those poor guys. Chinese. They kind of pointed the gun at their face and pulled the trigger. Huh?
How about Maine, Aaron? In the middle of the snow, they're overtaken by the Chinese growers up there now. Alaska is one of the highest growing states in the union now.
You're kidding.
No. They have more indoor grows in Alaska than anywhere else in the United States.
Really?
Indoor.
But you would think that would be incredibly expensive since they would have to run, I mean,
Aaron,
heaters and lights.
One plant, $1,000.
That's true.
One plant, $1,000, okay? Yeah. You can get a typical grow is 250 plants in a
hoop. I'd be a terrible drug dealer. I forgot to do the math at the beginning.
I just sent you a picture, as a matter of fact, and for your the public know, I called it the Super Grow. These are football field size grows you can drive tractor trailers in, folks. These are not your typical, you know, single row hoop house. These things are absolutely massive. And there is one of them here locally. And it's going to get eradicated here real soon.
Well, this ability to get down to who owns it, you know, instead of just the growers that run away, right? You know, the people on the ground doing the groundwork. How successful have they been able to be finding, you know, who's kind of orchestrating the whole thing and peeling those people off the rolls,
putting
them in jail, that sort of thing?
Honestly, I think it's just trying to stem the flow right now, that the ability to follow up, because that takes a full investigation and investigator, and that's why it's got to be code enforcement. You know, they have to assign somebody to do that, and they'll say they don't have the money, but this could actually be a money generating for our county. Now, government isn't supposed to generate money through fines generally, but here, the fines are so massive. Do you know if we assess fines in just one grow, that could pay for the administrative law judge for the entire year? We could be banging those cases out every month. It's not like the cases aren't available.
Well, and so for the people out there, you know, screaming at their radio, going, well, what about me? And that's, I guess, the big thing that I look at is if any, like, just regular citizen, person owns a house, has some acreage, went and dumped pesticides into a creek, siphoned water out of a creek, went and dug giant holes, went and scraped down the earth, you know, cut down all their trees. If they did any of those things, if any of those things even were partially done, they wind up just absolutely hung out to dry.
Well, let's talk about Mill Creek, because the sheriff was very successful doing operations in Mill Creek, basically went in there and wiped them out. Now, this year, there's two new operations in there, but two as opposed to, like, I don't know, there was 20 or 30 in there before. And they had a commercial water pump down in Mill Creek that was pulling water out, and you could see black poly pipe going to all these different grows. Can the sheriff go back and follow up on that water pump? No. He can't. He just doesn't have the personnel to do that. That's a code enforcement issue, because code enforcement mm-hmm. can really put the hurting on the property owners up there. And it's not like we don't up there. We don't know. We know who the property owners are up there.
Oh, that's cool.
These properties are being rented. As a matter of fact, I just saw a someone from Siskiyou advertising a property in Mill Creek for rent for the year, you know, $20,000 to $40,000, you know, and they don't say for marijuana grows, they just say water on site, good growing medium. Yeah, that's code word for come grow your marijuana.
No housing,
no permits to worry about.
Right. Right, you don't have the septic checking and the fire insurance and the. You don't have any of those things.
So the one thing that's good about our sheriff is we get destruction warrants. So in the destruction warrants, they go through these hoop houses with a skid steer, and they knock them down. And some of these hoop houses are beautiful. They're $100,000 aluminum frame commercial hoop houses.
Size. Give people
a... typically 100 by 250. Yeah. That's a typical hoop house.
That's a huge grow house.
Can you imagine if you were going to grow, I'm going to have a little garden, and I'm going to put up 100 by 200... You can grow vegetables for your old
Any town. Citizen can go on Google Maps and just go to an area like Lack Creek, or how about, let's go Round Mountain, south of Highway 299. You can see the massive marijuana grows. And the team, our team, is highly motivated, very experienced now. They have some of the most experienced investigators in the United States. Their morale is excellent. We're paying for it through overtime, but the sheriff is going after DCEP money, which is the drug enforcement money that we get from the feds. So we're doing okay there, but we could always use more, and we definitely could use more personnel. The hot areas this year in Shasta County are, let's see, Veterans Cemetery area, which is generally taken care of by Department of Fish and Wildlife. They like to work the west side. On the east side is Round Mountain, that whole Montgomery Creek, that whole area up in there. It's starting to look like Little Siskiyou, and the team is going to hit it hard.
Have you got any numbers on, you take one of those big grow houses, the amount of revenue that's generated from, one crop that comes out of that?
So that super grow I was talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a several million dollar harvest. And they can do that four times a year.
Yeah. So $100,000 for a greenhouse is
easy.
Drop in the bucket. They just turn around and build another one.
Yeah.
Because there's so much money involved.
Yes.
And that's the problem with this industry, is that money, we had a comment on the chat that some companies take money from the industry. Well, lots of businesses may not even know it, but they take money from the industry. There's so much money floating around buying. I think you mentioned up in Siskiyou, the tractor supply up there sold more PVC pipe.
They were the highest, not just with that, but with everything, you know, water tanks and soil and all these different things.
Than any tractor supply in the country.
It was one of the top grossing stores. And then you have some of the people who sell all the soils and all that stuff.
Sure.
And they were trucking it in on the with 18-wheelers. I mean, there was just...
Oh, there's just so
it was
so
a financial boom
involved.
For some of these areas. And so then everybody doesn't want to say anything. What, the one guy up there, $13 million selling water? You can farm, or you can sell $13 million, get $13 million for your water. Not sure I'd want to be in partners with the cartel, but...
And he's selling it today.
Of course he is.
I walked into a business, this was a couple of years ago,
in
Humboldt.
We're done.
Oh, okay.
We hit the limit.
That story.
All right. Got to go.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. You can find everything at wethepeopleradio.us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got minds to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.